Welcome to a paddock walk edition of the Talking Loose podcast with me, Hal Ridge. We're in Riga, Latvia for the opening round of the FIA European Rallycross Championship for 2026, where Johan Kristoffersen claimed victory in the Euro RX1 final ahead of OC Baby and Joni Tapainen. But that didn't tell the whole story. Let's head into the paddock as the teams pack up and head for home to get the lowdown from some of the people involved. I'm joined initially by Tommy Howman. Tommy, you've won at all sorts of different levels, even in this paddock in the RX2E category. You're here in a different role this weekend. You're in set promotion uniform. I'm in European Rallycross uniform as I've been working on the commentary team. Tell us what you've been up to.
Actually, my official status is team principal for RX4 project with Albert Koch. I don't know why, but when everybody calls me team principal, they always laugh after it, or at least have a really wide smile. So, also I've been, you know, doing V-Box stuff for him and spotter also, so lots of small things.
You started with this set promotion team as a young driver in Rallycross in the RX Academy concept 2017. How is it now to have achieved a lot in your own career, which is still ongoing, but be about working with Jussi Pinnamäki's squad with developing a 14-year-old young driver in this new RX4 class?
It's actually really exciting also. As you said, he's a really young and talented driver. And our relationship with Set Promotion, actually my father used to race with Set Promotion already 2007, so we go a long way back.
And your role this weekend, yes, it's very different to being a driver, and I know you're desperately keen to be driving as much as you can. Different responsibilities, different pressures. In the spotter's tower, there's a degree of pressure that you don't feel in the car, isn't there? Because once you're in the car, you're in a lovely zone. And the spotter's tower, you can only mess it up, really, can't you? So how do you find that dynamic?
Yeah, it's really, exciting, as I said earlier. I've been a couple of times spotting in Finland, so it's not completely new to me, but it's exciting. And as you said, it's easy to make a silly mistake, and then you have the full responsibility of someone else's driving. So it's a lot of actually pressure in this truck.
And what can you bring from your experiences? You've raced here before. You've raced all over the world in rallycross. What are you trying to impart on a young driver like Albert to help him get up to speed as quickly as he can?
Luckily, he's actually quite good already, so there's not like major things, but just like keeping it calm and trying to advise on things that I've experienced myself earlier. And it's plenty of like small things. I think generally he's doing actually much better than I could have imagined. So we are, I think, in a good path.
He's had great pace this weekend, hasn't he? The RX4 classes, I think, has been really good. Bit of unknown coming into the weekend. I know it was unsure how many entries there would be for the first round, but actually the racing's been really entertaining. And Albert's had some great pace at times as well.
Yeah, definitely. And also the racecraft was good. He has been in the front and holding position well, even though it was sometimes really close actually between the top drivers. So it's been going really well, and I'm really looking forward for the rest of the races.
Thank you, Tommy. I won't keep you anymore. I've got a camera attached to my cap, so we're in the set promotion hospitality, and we're going to go on a bit of a paddock walk, and I'm going to grab a word with this guy quickly. I'm sure you're sick of talking to me this weekend, mate. Joni Tapainen, could you have expected the kind of pace you had both in the pre-season test here in Riga and then this weekend, the fastest time against Backerud and Kristoffersen, and then fighting with Backerud there in the final to finish on the podium?
No, I didn't. It was crazy. Unbelievable, you know, speed and how I managed to come to the podium. It was crazy.
The pressure on the final lap of the final there with Andreas desperately keen to get a podium like everybody is, but you already had a bit of damage in the first couple of laps. Could you smell the tyre smoke and how bad was the pressure at the end?
Yes, and the tyres were so warm that I was locking the tyres all the time because the semi-final was so close to the final, so the tyres were really warm and the pressure was high. Andreas was giving it very, very good.
Quick shout for the team here, Set Promotion, running a lot of different cars, so much experience. You've driven under your own family team before. How has it been working with Jussi Pinnamäki and all of the very experienced guys here at Set?
It was great. I think the team spirit is very good and the guys are professional, so everything is going well and it's good to continue in Hungary.
Thank you, Joni. We'll see you there. What a start that man has been this weekend. Oh, is he a boy or a man? not totally sure. This is Albert Koch's car that we've been talking to Tommy Howman about in that interview. I'm sure people are going to laugh at me for wearing this camera on my hat, but there we go. Christophson Motorsport is on my right for those listening on audio. A couple of the mechanics having a beer while they wait for the cars to return from Parc Fermé. Next in line on the right-hand side in the paddock is Team RX Racing, the O'Donovan camp. Only Ollie O'Donovan's car there at the moment, because I assume Patrick O'Donovan's car is equally not yet released from Parc Fermé. We are, at this stage, we are about nearly 2 hours after the final. There's a man to grab very quickly. Been on the podium in European Rallycross before, Ollie O'Donovan. It's been a tough weekend, hasn't it? You didn't get all the running you wanted at the pre-season test. You've driven this car once before in Mondello Park last year, but there's been a lot of new elements, and perhaps it hasn't worked out quite as you wanted.
You know what? I'm happy. The car's square. One little dint in the sill, so hey.
It nearly wasn't square, was it? We missed it on the broadcast, didn't we? I think it was in Q3 yesterday afternoon. Talk us through what happened there.
Wow, Hal, it's a good job. I had my lessons from Terry Grant. I done a bit of two-wheeling in a Mini, and I was very, very happy on Q3, I believe. Just kissed the tyre wall on the inside right, and I was on two wheels, and I managed to grab fourth gear and turn it back down. I was lucky.
Yeah, it sounds it. I think that sums up your weekend a little bit, doesn't it? But a great run towards the end as well, quarterfinals. The pace was there. Q4 was a good run as well, once you got some clear air as well.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I've been unlucky. Yeah, new car to me. Team are a small bit on the back foot. You know, we've learnt a lot this weekend. It was a big challenge for us. We had a lot of little knockbacks. A lot of, you know, we had like two, three little knockbacks and everything. Nothing major, just little bits. Putting it all together, we've improved every time we went out. The pace is getting quicker, my laps are getting quicker. And I think when we go all the way to Nyrad, I prefer Nyrad. I like Nyrad, the track. I find it very hard to drive this track because I'm not a
racer. This isn't your circuit, is it?
It's not my style of driving, Hal. I like to be flamboyant in sidewells, and the pint and skirt doesn't suit me, Hal. You're dead right.
See you in Hungary. Thank you, Ollie. Let's have a... Right in front of Ollie is a little ram that's in Patrick O'Donovan's colours as I fall over the awning. Sorry, mate. Patrick O'Donovan with merchandise this weekend. Outside his awning. Right, we move up. On the left-hand side is the allinco.com Munich Motorsport team. René Munich, who unfortunately pulled out after free practice. Mandy August driving the latest generation car for the first time this weekend. Now passing PGRX on the right-hand side. People are packing up quickly here. A lot of the teams will be going straight to Hungary, I would imagine. And many of them will also be going home, depending on where they're based in Europe. We are now heading into the Volland Racing awning. Nikos Glelens, who I need to thank you, mate, because we went running over the track to do an interview after the final. You were gracious enough to slow down and let us pass. So
didn't run him over. What a shame you didn't run him over. That would have been much better.
It would have made great TV, although I wasn't in vision at the time, so it would have been totally lost. Much like Ollie O'Donovan's near roll earlier on in the weekend. You're with Andrew Coley here in the awning having a chat. How has your weekend been from your point of view, mate?
It was chaotic, but at the end very good, so I'm really happy and pleased with that. Very grateful.
How hilarious is it that I'm wearing some silly camera on my...
I like it. You look like that train guy, Francois, what's his name?
Francois, well, he is so famous, it's unbelievable.
Really, maybe you'll be famous, Hal.
I'm not really seeking that, to be honest. Nicholas, maybe a bit up and down your weekend compared to what you would have hoped for pre-season. RX3 is super competitive this year, isn't it? But it's all about surviving to live another day, score good points in the semi and final. I guess that's what a championship campaign is all about, just trying to turn a bolt it all together.
Yeah, I think this year is going to be very important to be, how do you call it, to be consistent about points. Not trying too much, just trying to be consistent, have good pace, good lap times. And yeah, because, I mean, you see it when there's too much contact. I mean, the best example I can give is Dufa and Rosford and Semi. They... they had an amazing race, and just right before the end, they got into a big crash. I mean, it's good for me. I'm really grateful for that. Kind of. I mean, not that they crashed, but that I got to go in the final. I know that Dufay is okay, thank God. I went to talk with Marcus, he's okay as well. But yeah, I think it's going to be about being consistent and not doing stupid things this year, because, yeah.
That's a great example, that incident, of how quickly it can turn on its head. I don't actually... yes, Dufay got a black flag for that incident, but I don't lay the blame fully at his door in that it wasn't malicious. He didn't turn right into the other driver. It was just one of those circumstances, but it shows that that can happen at any point.
Exactly. I don't think he meant to do it on purpose or anything. I mean, from what I saw in the car and from outside, I think they just got into some contact. And, you know, those cars are so light, the slightest contact just sends you off and the wheels goes everywhere. So I don't think he meant to do any harm. And it would be stupid if he did, because it just ruined his race. But, yeah, it can go so quick. It's crazy. Because, can't lie, I was at the last corner. I was like, well, weekend done for me. And then I see them crash. I was like, oh, shit. Can I say that? I was like, oh, shit. But it's good for me at the end. So, yeah, it's a bit crazy how fast stuff can change.
Well done, mate. See you in Hungary. We're going to move on a little bit. Andrew Coley's here talking to Nico's mum. I'm going to grab you quickly as well. Wait, let's step outside of the awning so we're not... there is no backdrop necessary. This is a podcast and a silly hat. But where do you start with this weekend? There's been a lot of build-up to the European Rallycross Championship this year, hasn't there? A massive entry of supercars, fans still in the paddock, enjoying the teams taking down their setups. What's your takeaway? Yes, the racing's been great. There's been a lot of action. How would you summarise this now? A couple of hours after the final, maybe it wasn't the best final ever. Jankos also made a brilliant start and ran away at the front. But what's your takeaway?
My takeaway is the same thing that we said at the start of the show, which is that Rallycross is back, and I really feel like it is. I've had the very great privilege of working on the highest level of the sport for more than a decade, which terrifies me because it means I'm getting very old very quickly. But it feels a bit similar to how it felt. Just mind if we don't get our heads taken off by a big metal pole here. Look, it feels like it felt back in 14, 15, when we were growing and there were big grids. I think some people will be... Yeah, the level here is very high. It's very high. But I don't know. I'm excited, basically. East Rallycross is back. It's a bit of a reset. Electric wasn't my favourite on either side of the Atlantic. There's things like Extreme E. It was different because it wasn't internal combustion before, but it did take something away from Rallycross. My favourite season of Nitro was 21 when we had the internal combustion cars. And obviously I have very fond memories of my years doing internal combustion in this series. So with the noise and you get the drama at the start again and a bit of carnage in Turn 1. And I'm also loving seeing the likes of Tepane and Trepak. Rutkin and people challenging new drivers. I am coming, Julia, I promise. I'll be 2 minutes. It's the paymasters. no, she's lovely, really. But here she is. Look, here she is. Wave. just generally, I think it's a feeling of excitement, mate. I've banged on a little bit there, but you know what I mean. I've had a really good weekend of feeling positive about the sport, and the vibe in the paddock's good too.
And while Kristoffersen fought back after a number of difficult starts, he had some hard races, he didn't have it all his own way. Four drivers went fastest in the different qualifiers for RX1. The quarterfinals bring a new element of the jeopardy. But ultimately, in the final, Kristoffersen had a great run, as he has so often done in his incredible career. That doesn't really tell the story of the weekend, does it?
No, it doesn't. I think the jeopardy, the quarterfinals is an interesting one. I totally get it. You don't want people traipsing across Europe with a truck, doing four races, and then going, I was 13th, I've missed out. Doesn't feel very fair. So I think having the quarterfinals is brilliant, because we get double the amount of people in, and yeah, we get another whole round. Yeah, it was like four semi-finals before two semi-finals, and it was a bit too carnage. I think there were some big losers in there. I was also struck by the depth, that the front two rows of all of those quarterfinals were banging. Any of these guys could take this. And it's been a long time since I've thought that. Obviously, yeah, Johan did brilliant. You'd say their starts aren't dialed. If they get the starts dialed, it's looking a bit tricky for everyone. But they're not unbeatable. he did win, but they're not unbeatable. And I think Johan's enjoyed the fight. As much as he wants to win, I don't think he likes it if it's an easy win. I think he quite like... Look at the smile on his face when he got back in whatever it was, quarterfinal. I don't even know there's been so much racing. He got back after some fight. and he was all smiles driving back to the paddock because he's like, yes. And
it's a giveaway on the onboard, isn't it? Because you can see the smile in his eyes.
And he just a little creases up here with his feet, you know, that he's had a bit of a tear up and he's enjoyed it. So I can't remember what the question was, mate, but yeah.
Yeah, Kristoffersen leading out front doesn't tell the story, does it? And no, I think there's been some brilliant performances across the board, haven't there, in every category.
Trepak, Tapanen, them winning sessions was absolutely brilliant. Kristoffersen won one. Who was the fourth one? I forgot.
Bakuska.
He's back after, like, he's been doing Dakar and things. So we've had three winners that you might not have put down as winners of the session before the weekend, and they've come and done it. Trepak and the McGann, that's great. I love the idea that Moses is going to come in a McGann, but also obviously Paye. And the other thing I really enjoyed actually this weekend was, I think our guests in the studio were brilliant. They all bought something different. Baumanis was in, talking about racing at home. He was so funny when he was like, I was like, what do you think? And I really thought he was going to tear into the other drivers. I haven't looked at this. I thought, oh God, I hope he isn't lining this up as an opportunity to, you know, be on air and
say. But that's also the platform that they're allowed in that respect. They can say what they want.
They bought us lovely Polish dumplings earlier. They were exceptional. He really goes, oh, Rallycross. And then when he saw it again, it was like, Rallycross. And so I love that. Paye with some brilliant stuff when he was in too. So I'll just say, and you, mate, it's been a pleasure to have you back in the commentary box. I know we've been together on other series and stuff, but we've never been together on this other than support categories back in the day, because we did it separately. So it's been fun.
Thank you, mate. I've enjoyed it immensely as well.
Yeah, me too.
See you in the
me
bar.
Too. Yeah, Damien, see you later, mate. Well done. Cheers, dude.
And if by magic, Damien Litvinovic has shown up. Damien, you scored your first win in European Rallycross at the end of last season. It's been a tough fight this weekend. Well, I haven't actually spoken to you because it's been so busy. How has it gone from the driver's seat?
Yeah, I was also very busy because we all the time struggled with the pace on this track. Today was not so bad. On the warm-ups, it starts to feel better, but in Q4, I spun in the first corner, and also in this quarterfinal, this guy hit me and spin me, so no time to fight for the better result.
Shetter Larsen, you had contact with, wasn't it? That yeah, and after that, you just didn't seem to have the pace. Were you driving angry, or was it just that you'd lost too much time?
I don't really know if something happened with the car or not. The pace for sure was better than the third driver there, so was not that bad. The pace was to get to the semi-final, but of course in the semi-final it will be not enough. But of course maybe something happened with the car. We didn't check it now, so we will check it later and get ready to Hungary.
Thank you, Damien. Hopefully see you there on good pace as we continue to move through the paddock. Just passing the Volland Racing cars and the PGRX cars parked up, and I'm heading towards the Paye competition awning. Fabien Paye, who is a superstar driver, but he's also packing the awning up. Continue packing the awning up, mate, and I'll walk with you if you want. It's all work, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a lot of work, you know. Driving is the easy part, obviously. Then you have to pack everything up. And that's a lot of work, but it's fun work.
The driving part hasn't been so much for you this weekend. It's been, I guess, really frustrating. Different car for you. Your team is super experienced. You hadn't had a lot of time to... It's not just the preparation. It's not just making it look pretty and making sure it's mechanically sound. It's also learning what you've got underneath you. So initially you had an engine problem in free practice. Yep. It took your guys quite a long time to change the engine because you've never done it before. You just have to learn how that process works. Yep. Then the spare engine had a problem. You've never actually had anything to do with that because you've got it so late. It's been tough for you, hasn't it?
Yeah, sure. But I mean, we got the car very late. We got some parts with it, but we had no time to check what was the status of the parts. So obviously we knew that we were taking a risk coming here, but we had a very successful test session in Loyac like about 10 days ago. And I mean, we saw the car was reliable, it was quick, so then we said, okay, let's try this, you know, let's go for it. And that was a gamble, and we, merci. And we have lost the gamble basically, so this is disappointing, but we knew we were taking a risk, and we are looking at the long term with the Megane anyway, so we still have learned a lot this weekend, and this is what we are going to remember and take with us.
And in the short term, what's the plan from here? Obviously you're packing the truck up, your teammate this weekend, Dylan Dufesne, obviously had a poor event as well. I guess you're straight back home to Northern France now and regroup, but what's next on the agenda?
Now we are going to bring the engine to ProDrive as soon as possible and try to get it fixed. And we hope we can be back with the Mégane in Hungary, but if we can't be there on time and in a good condition, then I think we will go there with the 208, with the Peugeot.
And for those that don't know, your team's been racing Peugeot 208s for a long time now. That's something you know very well. Still competitive in the French Championship. Yeah. And I guess even if it's not maybe the Mégane that you feel can give you a step on, at least you know it's reliable and you know all about it in terms of setup to go to. Have you raced in Hungary before? That's a difficult challenge.
No, never. So actually driving there with the 208 would be a bit easier for me. Because it seems to be a complicated track where you need to be really in confidence to be quick. So if we go there with the 208, I think it should be okay. Yeah.
Your family and your team has such heritage in this sport. You came so close to winning the European Championship in 2021 in that battle of Andreas Backrud. For you, okay, try and put the disappointment of this weekend to one side. It's been an amazing weekend for Rallycross. How are you feeling being part of this paddock again?
It feels really good, definitely. I have been longing for this for several years now. Since we had this championship in 2021, I always tell the team this was my best the rallycross season where I had the most fun. You know, we drove in very nice tracks, and since then I'm really trying to push the team and push the partners to go in this direction again. Now we succeeded with a new project with the Mégane. And we try to look on the long term with it. We want to be back next year again. So we knew the learning curve would be steep and we have a lot to learn this season. But we want to learn this season and then come back stronger, I think, next season.
Finally, give a little bit of insight. So there's three Meganes, aren't there? Two of them have an Orica engine now. You have the ProDrive car that still remains as it was developed by ProDrive. How close is your relationship with ProDrive? How helpful have they been? How is that situation working?
They have been very, very helpful, I have to say. We have very good relationship with Richard Thompson, and there is also James Leakey from the engine department. They are both very, very helpful. We have done two test sessions in Loayac. One test session where we didn't want to touch the car at the beginning without someone from ProDrive to be there. So they were assessing all the electronic side and engine side was okay before we even cranked the engine. And then we had another session where we could actually drive it and do some testing and do some engine mapping and everything. So they have been very helpful. I mean, they are not seeing this as a commercial or business side. They are really helping and they understand that we run with a very low budget. And this is very good for us. I mean, we have a very good relationship with them.
And next up, French Championship next weekend. Do you have any customers out in Falleras?
Yeah, we have Dylan Léger who is going to drive the 208 there in Falleras. So the truck now leaves tonight and has to be in Falleras for Thursday. So yeah, we are going to drop the engine back in Paris. Someone will ship them to ProDrive. So yeah, it's going to be busy for the team in the next days.
It's a long way from Riga to the south of France, isn't it? I guess you take all of this infrastructure with you in the truck, go straight there.
Yeah, definitely. And we have both of our drivers who are there and starting to focus for the long drive ahead. Yeah.
Thank you, Fabian. Brilliant to have you here. See you soon. We will continue to walk around the paddock. We're right at the far end now, next to the bus of Jörg Linnemann. And for those watching on YouTube, I think the battery's gone flat in the camera, but that's not the end of the world. Let's see if Jörg is here. I'm going to jump in and chat here. Is Jörg here?
No, he's not here. I think he's in the shower.
Useless. Yeah. Thank you. Linnemann's in the shower. I don't particularly fancy joining him in there, so I'll leave him to it. If there's one good thing for Paye competition, the Mégane looks absolutely stunning and has had absolutely no damage externally, so they have no work to do on that front. Actually, they've got no reprep to do either because they've done so few laps. So if they can get the engine sorted, it will be a fairly straightforward job, I would say, to refit it, especially now the boys have done it once. So they're very keen to get it sorted, as Fabian said, dropping it in Paris. There's so much logistics that go into all of these teams that go so unseen to get things fixed. Here's a man who's been back in European Rallycross. You can stay sitting down there if you want, Kjetil Larsen. Oh no! No, he's had a big crash on a fuel can. Are you okay, mate?
I'm all good.
driving a supercar again. You've been out of this game for a little while. How much have you enjoyed being behind the wheel this weekend?
Behind the car, very good. Yeah, we should have done a lot of testing before Helios, before Riga, so we should have got rid of all of this we do on the track that is a little bit crazy. I think the driving pace would be much, much better, but we had change of heart, and instead of building a new one, we four doors Polo, we buy a Finnish one from Svardal instead, and was thinking about renting this car out for the season, and when nobody ended up wanting to rent it for Riga, we decided to drive here and try to see how it was, and we didn't do a lot of testing. We were two times this last month in Helios, but had some issues every time, and last time I was a little bit hard on the gas, so I go in to the steel, so yeah, then I didn't have so much practice, and then we had a small issue with the turbo leak, so we missed the boat of the practice. So yeah, I mean, like we do in Q3 or 4 or something like that, will be perhaps that what we can do and expect from start, and when we are 2-3 heats behind everybody else, it's not easy to take that back, and we are not driving the pace as Johan, but yeah, we should be higher than we are for sure.
You've got a grand plan for this car, haven't you? You're not intending to drive it all the time yourself. You're hoping to use it as an opportunity to give drivers who haven't had the experience that you and I have luckily both had in racing a supercar to give them that chance, and that's happening very soon next weekend, isn't it, as well?
Yeah, I never intend of driving it myself in either Tirpo Rally X or the European Championship. The meaning was all the time that somebody could rent it from me, and it's still available for people to come and rent. We have a few people wanting to rent it, and next weekend we are renting it out to Emil Sivesen, a Norwegian driver that is really, really good, and it's too bad to see that he hasn't had the opportunity to drive a car like this, so that's why we have thought that we should give him a chance and see what he can do. So we come to Tirf next weekend with this car and Emil Sivesen, and I'm pretty sure he will do very great things in Tirf.
Thank you, Chateau. We'll see you very soon. Good to have you back in the paddock. Chateau Larsen there in the Volkswagen Polo. Now we're just walking past the RX3 car of Marcus Rosrud, who had quite a lot of damage after that contact with Dylan Dufar at the end of the RX3 semi-final. Good atmosphere in the paddock on Sunday afternoon. The final finished a bit earlier today than it has done in the past, so giving the teams an opportunity to get on the road. Lots of them with a lot to do. We're on the second row of the paddock now, heading back down towards Teas, who was unfortunately involved in that incident in the RX3 semis. Zoltán Koncsák's car. Zoltán Koncsák was pretty impressive this weekend, actually very consistent. Tamás Kuraj as well. I think he's fourth fastest in one of the qualifiers. Dominik Senegácsny with his Volkswagen Polo. He had that clip of the tyres if you watch the broadcast, and rolled the car in semi-finals, I think it was. Here's a man to catch up with quickly. Julien Meunier preparing to go out for a heavy night in Riga with the music. I know you don't really like drinking though, do you? So you're probably going to go straight home.
Yeah.
What a weekend, mate. You came here with, I don't know, a mixture of expectations. You drove the car last weekend in Lesse in France. You've done so much Super 1600 driving in the past, but you've also driven Supercar Lights, Supercar in France as well. This is very different though, isn't it? Driving a top-class car in this championship, the Audi is very, very capable. You always want to win, don't you? But did you expect to be a top qualifier at the end of qualifying and then to be coming away with the biggest trophy, which they look remarkably heavy, those trophies. So, how did the result compare to your expectation?
My expectation for sure is to be the fastest as possible, but you know, I'm never comparing to the other, I'm comparing to myself, and I know I have the pace to be the fastest, so we just know actually we need to improve more on that start, and then it should be perfect for the rest of the season.
So for those that didn't watch the RX3 final, you qualified on pole, you had great pace, you actually had a spin in Q1, yeah, and caught to the back of the pack, didn't you? So the lap time pace was there. Like you say, struggled off the line at the start from pole position in the final. You ran second, and it was ultimately a push lap after the Joker strategy, and then a move right around the outside in the final corner into the outside of the first corner, and then managing to get the car back into turn two. It was an amazing move, mate. What was that like from the driver's seat? Had you, because on the commentary, I thought you'd gone the wrong way. I thought you committed to the outside when really you should have gone to the undercut. Did you always plan to hang it around, or how did that play out?
Yeah, this is my plan. Actually, on the exit of the Joker lap, when we are side by side, I do a very shitty corner. Like, if I do a normal corner, I will exit in front clearly. But I saw him, so I was a bit on the shit on the outside. So then I say, okay, I can close the door, and so I will try to do the outside and close the inside. And that was the plan. So it was very tricky because the rear starting to coming over, and I say, oh dear. And then I starting to oversteer, and then she came back, and I know he will try to undercut me. So I was saying in my head, tight. I put the first gear, and then he pushed me on the back. So he made me gain some kilometers. So no, it's pretty well. I'm very happy to this fight, and it showed to the other I'm not only just a Frenchman, just driving and going front. I prefer to win like this than to win easily, you know. It's a much better feeling after.
Yeah, after the fight, you were clearly pumped after the end of the race in front of the massive crowd here in Latvia. I've been lucky enough I'm not claiming to be anywhere near as good a driver as anyone here, but I've been lucky enough to do a few laps in Yuri Bilevsky's Audi A1 after he won the championship in RX3. The chassis on these cars are phenomenal, aren't they? The balance of these cars, volume racing with some minor support from Audi, put a massive effort into these cars, and I could feel it at least. How do you think, compare this car compared to other Super 600 cars you've driven?
Yeah, it's super good. The most impressive thing is the engine. On this one, it's a Lehmann, like the other volume racing. But this engine is crazy, man. Like, on the start, it's more hazy than the other, and also the chassis working very well. The Skoda Super 2000, S2000, is crazy. We have the same on the Audi of Damian, and we know this one working perfectly for the rallycross. So it's, for me, it's the best balance for this car, is the best in Super 16 for the moment.
Big rush now for your small team here to get home. Another event in France next weekend, Falaras. You've got your brother driving in the Audi Supercar, Michael Leonard coming to drive the Polo as well. So no rest for the wicked.
Yeah, no rest, because we, on the way back, we need to stop in Germany, and then we need to go straight to Falaras. So no rest. But yeah, it should be a good weekend also in Falaras, because Damian loved this track. The car was pretty well. We have not luck in Lecce, but it will be much better in Falaras, and I hope Michael do something great. I will be in engineer, sorry, and it should be very great, because it's a very good driver, and the car is working pretty well on that type of track, so it should be good
weekend. Thank you, mate. Well done. See you soon. Julien Meunier there winning RX3. So Meunier is running out of the Automax Motorsport camp at the moment. They're running a proper European Championship type van and trailer effort. And I have to say, the respect Meunier had with Gurklis in the final was clear, because there's barely a mark on Meunier's car. We're heading back across the backstage area of the paddock now to the back of Christophson Motorsport. See who else we can grab quickly before we wrap up. Having a look inside, who is here? Nobody at the moment. Always predictable that there's not anyone handy when you need them most. On the other side is Set Promotion, Andreas Beckeridge's car. The other machines under the Set banner in the awning next to it. I'm going to grab a man who's desperately trying to leave the paddock, but hasn't succeeded for many years, and you've been persuaded back again. Alexa, you've been involved in Set Promotion for a long time. You've been involved with Topi Häkkinen for a long time in his career. I know you're always saying this is my last year, and you keep coming back. It's some addiction, isn't it?
Yeah, I think then it must be something in this sport which is pulling me always back here in the paddock. So, for sure, yeah.
And Jussi can be reasonably persuasive as well at times.
Yeah, I think he's quite good when he's making the call there some mid-January, February, and, you know, starting to a little bit discuss about, yeah, how about next season? So Yeah, I think there is also some truth behind that one also, that Jussi can be quite good in that.
We've both seen a lot of rallycross over the years. There's been a great entry here this weekend. How is your... I don't even know what your role has been. You can tell me that as well. But how is your feeling being in the paddock, working with Sepp, but also how the paddock's been as a whole?
Yeah, somehow, yeah, for sure, the way the sport is going at the moment, it's correct. Of course, still in the start of the journey for something new, for sure. But I think everyone in here can say that the way is correct. And at least I have been loving it. Again, a lot of cars, nice atmosphere, you know. It's like somehow it feels that for a couple of years now we had a really, really nice racing this weekend. You know, proper battles and yeah, at least I'm happy.
And for yourself, what have you been doing within Sepp here?
Yeah, I have been the performance engineer for Joni Turpeinen and spotting also for him this weekend and whole season, yeah.
Performance engineer is such a grand title. You probably deserve an even grander title, but ultimately that means you're looking at the V-Box, working on the data, trying to help him extract as much as he can from every lap, every start, every tyre clean. You're just looking to maximise every little part of his weekend, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly like that.
Thank you, mate. Thank you. See you soon. Alexei is an absolute star of this paddock, as are so many people that work behind the scenes and don't necessarily get the recognition that they deserve. I do like the big numbers on the top of the RX1 cars here. They're like rally roof numbers, and yeah, they're great from the air on the drone shots on the broadcast, and they just look cool. A bit retro, a bit rally. We're just going into the Bergen Motorsport Evolution tent and just see if we can grab a very quick word with Andreas Backwood. I'm actually going to butt in here because otherwise we're never going to grab a word of him. Andreas, you're always busy doing things for engagement, and you're handing out sunglasses at the moment, are you? Yeah. Oliveira's team here. We are, yes. Yeah. So I'm just going to grab you very quickly, mate. Yeah, but while you're doing what's much more important, this is so we're in the back of your truck, and you're giving away sunglass boxes.
We
are on podcast. Yeah, awesome. You were the first guest. This is such a big part of what you do, isn't it? Engaging with people like this.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I know these guys from Portugal, and we've had a lot of job together, and first time. European Championship race outside of Portugal for Jose, so I think it was a lot of new stuff for him to learn, and I tried to force him to come here during the test days, but obviously, like, my life, racing is first. He has business, he has kids and family to take care of, so he didn't manage, and I said, the race one in Riga is gonna be tough for you, and he said, yeah, it'll be fine. After day one, this was tough, he said. So, sorry.
But it's also been tough for everybody, hasn't it?
Yeah,
and
it's
not alone. KMS had problems with the starts. You had problems in the traffic. You didn't nail your start in one of the sessions, and that compromises your grip position.
Yeah.
It's been hard, hasn't it?
It's been a very challenging weekend. You know, I stand a little bit alone in that fight against KMS, and also this weekend with the neighbors next door here, which is it's a challenge to understand and read the terrain. Also, I need to respect the fact that I haven't been in this game for 5 years in the European Championship or in the World Championship. So it's a lot of new things for me as well. I've only done 2 days basically in this car, and I think you understand more the limiting factors at the race, where you actually push yourself 100% compared with the test, where you drive alone and you do great on lap times, and then KMS comes in and put the bar to another level. And you know, they are class. They have this set up for many years, the same people, the same engineers, the same drivers, and we're playing catch up. So yeah, we have good things, but we have a lot of things that we need to try to get better. And I have huge respect for the task, because it's not going to be easy, but I haven't given up yet, you know.
You're talking very much as a driver there. As a team owner, someone that's put this whole project together yourself, you must be There must be a huge degree of satisfaction. Yes, you didn't get the result you wanted, but at the same time, you've come in with your own team, your friends, your mechanics, you're working together with Set Promotion. You go a long way back with Jussi Pinnamäki. What you've created here is very different to what you've done before. You did a lot of learning last year in Supernational in Norway, but this is on a whole different level. When you get home and you sit down with the kids and you think about this weekend, of course, there's loads of learning, isn't there, about how the operation of the team runs, but you've got to be satisfied with pulling this off and being back in this arena.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing I'm most proud of is like on my car there is one guy working as a, in Norwegian is blikkenslager. What is blikkenslager?
Ventilation.
One guy is car painter and the other one is putting up a workshop interior. And then that's the amateurs, but with high passion and done motorsport for many years on the hobby side. And then we mix with the pro team, such as Set Promotion, with Heppa, Tommy, Kalle here, and other people in the team. And like that mix went really well, you know. Also, on Wednesday, Thursday, we set up the awning. I have the two biggest owners in Bergen Motorsport Evolution together with myself, putting up the tent. They are very successful business people, and all of a sudden they are lying inside the trailer getting the tent out, getting dirty like no tomorrow. It's 4 degrees wind. They should have been in Bali flipping their toes, getting a mojito or something like that. And it just shows the passion we have around us, and that's, I'm being very brutally honest here on your podcast. That's where we are. That's where what we came from, and we want to, you know, chase the best in the world, which is KMS at the moment. But we also need to put the finger in the ground and say we are not better than we are right now. So yeah, we have a long way to go, but hopefully, if we make a few right choices, then maybe we are a bit closer at the end.
With the start difference this weekend, clearly you guys had it pretty nailed for most of the time and KMS didn't. It showed that is possible. Four different drivers went fastest in each of the qualifiers. Yes, Johan Kristoffersen won again. Yes, the winner's graphic, it looks similar, but it doesn't really tell the whole story of the weekend. And this weekend, I think, proved that, yes, everyone needs to work harder, but it is possible to beat these guys.
Yeah, it is, absolutely. It's very, very, very tough, but on their weekday, we can challenge and beat them. Other than that, on a day like today, I put fresh 4 tires in the semi-final. I tried to drive very clean and steady the first few laps until he's on my rear bumper. I see him go to the Joker, and then I push everything I have, and then he's one car length ahead after the Joker merge. So at that point, I don't think there is a chance. He's, when he wants, he can be a second quicker than us. So yes, we have good starts, but right now there's in Riga here, there was no chance really.
Looking at the Hungary, your home round, well, what is basically your home round in Hulius, what can you do? Can you find more time, or do you think it's deeper rooted than that?
I think we're gonna make a few differences from now to Hungary that we have learned here. Whether if this car suits that track a little bit better or not, I'm not sure. But so a lot of new things for us. But we are going to give it a go to improve. We know they have spent all their, like, not all their money, but they have spent a lot of money and a lot of effort to be where they are. And the only thing we can do is try to answer up on it. And if for some reason in a race weekend I can put everything together, then perhaps I can be on the inside and not on the outside. And with what I've said, rallycross is MMA of motorsport, so it doesn't all come down to the speed. It comes down to elbows out, Robin's racing, and rallycross is Robin and dirt, gravel, tarmac, sliding, racing, all of it together. So I mean, it's let's see.
Thank you, mate, and thank you for driving again. That's going to help me out this year as well a little bit too. Andreas Backerud giving a frank review of what his weekend has entailed. That is the noise of an RX4 car, which is very noisy indeed in the paddock. That's Philip Mellon's car. turning around. We continue to go through the paddock. We are going back past Munich Motorsport. No one can hear anything with that racket in the background. Around the back of Team Oryx Racing again now. Just trying to grab a quick word with Patrick O'Donovan, and then we've got both of the most recent European champions that are here. Is Patrick here? Patrick is here. Can I grab a quick word? He's got his his Ram in the RV, painted in the same livery as his car. Patrick, we just chatted with Andreas Bakkerud. I think, like you, he's frustrated with the weekend for a number of reasons, but at the same time, it's been tough, hasn't it? But on your bad days, it's all about salvaging the best result you can. And I think I said in commentary over the weekend that actually you were driving differently to how you might have done in the past, where I think a young Patrick would have gone for some gaps that were sort of half there, and then you risk losing a lot more. Whereas sometimes when it's not working for you, you've really got to drive with your head. And this is just how I've seen it. We haven't actually chatted at all. So it feels like you've just been driving careful. Good points in the final. This is about a season-long battle, isn't it? And while this may not have been your best weekend, it's all about just maximising what you can when it's not going so well. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think if I was to talk with my media cap on here, of course, like you say, this weekend we've tried to be so smart and so much more calculated with every move that I've made. You know, I haven't been to the stewards. I haven't had one issue, not even an incident, come up on the board. I mean, I felt quite hard done by sometimes with some of the decisions. I felt like we received a lot of hits from other drivers that didn't really necessarily go anywhere. But I mean, of course, we just try to keep our nose clean and keep going. This isn't a track that I've particularly loved. My last time here, I did get a win in RX2E, but I'm not going to say that I fluked it, but the win in RX2E was definitely not expected at the time, and we just made the most of what happened. And I think definitely it doesn't necessarily suit my driving style, not having so much thick gravel on it, and even the tarmac sections being so flat and not cambered, and you can't really drive very aggressively. So I think that's my media cap answer. But if I was to talk a little looser here, I would have to say, I'm really frustrated with the weekend. I mean, we could have had so much more, but it happens, and you've got to take your medicine. So I think, yeah, well, for me, I feel really like I'm in a really bad position. At the end of the day, with such an amazing lineup and 30 cars, P5 is quite okay to walk away with, especially when I was P8 in the intermediate standings. Start of the final, P6, was about a kilometre, not a kilometre, sorry, we were about a postcode away from turn one by the time everyone else had got there. But, I mean, yeah, we capitalised, we got up to P5, really cool, nice switchback on Juha in turn one. Got past Andreas and unfortunately didn't quite get the undercut on him, but yeah, that's Rallycross, and just looking ahead towards Hungary. It's a track that I like and one that I'm much more comfortable with my driving style in, and fingers crossed the chassis can perform a little bit better then.
Had your first European Championship podium in Hungary from memory, then you won there a couple of years ago as well. How what can you do? What have been the limitations here chassis-wise? What can you do to try and bridge that gap a little bit at the next round?
I think obviously the chassis was performing very poorly today. Of course, the Polo is a very quick car, the Hyundai is a very quick car, and so is the Fiesta. My knowledge about the Fiesta is somewhat limited, I'll be honest. Partially probably because, well, yes, it's a very successful car, I had barely hit puberty by the time it was having its success back in the day, so I never really got a chance to watch so much of it, but I've definitely been watching all the races trying to study what I can. But no, I think heading into Hungary, it's not necessarily a track that definitely suits the chassis. I mean, you can see even when Timmy and Kevin used to race, and even the electric cars, the other Peugeots on that circuit, and Yanis as well in 23, I don't think it is a circuit that necessarily suits the chassis, it's just a circuit that suits my driving style. So I just somehow managed to capitalise on what the tools I've been given and try and just make do. So that's what we've done in the past. But yeah, we were pretty smart on the tyre saving choice this weekend, and I think it's put us into a better position, a stronger position going into Hungary than I necessarily was expecting before this event.
Thank you, Patrick. Thanks for speaking to us. I'm sure you'll enjoy the delights of Riga this evening, like so many people.
Any in. Shots?
Many drinks, he says, in the background. Right, I think that's a good time to pack up. I don't really know how long this has been going on for, to be honest. So make sure to follow Talking Loose on social media to keep up with Rallycross news. And there will be a brand new podcast with a special guest dropping in the next couple of weeks.